Greetings, all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're now in lesson 46, and we'll continue with chapter 18 of Matthew and verse 7. Last time we were in verse 6, where Jesus Christ was warning all those who are going to read the Bible, obviously, and those who don't, because the fate of people will be based on their behavior and conduct, not necessarily because they know or they don't know the law, the words of God. And so he says in verse 6, speaking about the little children, because the issue was here, who is the greatest? And Jesus Christ wanted his disciples to understand that it's not a question of high and mighty and powerful and anybody in the line of authority or rank or things like that, the pecking order. He wanted them to know that everybody should be respected. You see, we are all children of God, as he later on told his disciples. One is your master, and he's in heaven. He's not on this earth. On this earth, you have no masters. You have no Adon. That's what Adon means, master. You see? Later on, the Jews, you know, use that word Adon also for God in terms of Adonai, which is in the plural. You see? Instead of saying Yehovah, that's what it says. They read it Yehovah, but they say Adonai instead, because they do not want to take the name of God in vain. But on this earth, he said, you are all brethren. And so there is no such a thing as who is the greatest in heaven. You see, if you want to know who is the greatest in heaven, well, the Father is, and then Jesus Christ. You see, who is our elder brother, and will always have the preeminence over us. He's our creator. And then all of us are going to be brethren. So the mere fact that they were asking that showed the nature, you see, of the world in which they were. The Roman world and the world of their own, which was not of God. And that was a problem. And it is to this very day. And in spite of that, in spite of this statement here, in spite of this example here, in spite of the other statements that Christ had, warning his people not to behave in this manner like the Gentiles, you see, which was a satanic form of government, where those at the top think that they are more important than those at the bottom, which is contrary to the law of God, you see, as he made it very plain, you're all brethren, so treat one another as such. Yes, you know, you give honor to whom honor is due, that's true, because of their function and their service to you, but that doesn't make them greater than you are in the sight of God. You see? And to this very day, unfortunately, people do not believe it nor practice it, either in government or religion. That's the nature of men. And so, he makes it very, very plain. Whether you are dealing with a person that is of high rank, you know, in terms of whatever reality you know, we have created, or you're dealing with one of the little brothers, you see, and to illustrate that, he took not only a person, he took a little child. And he used a little child as an example. A person, though a child, a person without rank, without authority, without any aspirations for things like that, it's not even something that is on the mind of a child. They don't think that way at all. And he wanted us to have that, the same kind of an attitude. You see? And unfortunately, we don't, as we should. And so he says in verse 6, but whoever causes one of these little ones, any little one, be it a little child or anybody else, a child was just an example. Obviously, he was not about taking an adult, you know, and put him on his lap and use him as an example. That's the reason why he took a child. Because the child, you know, will make a better illustration. You see, would make a better illustration for the purpose. And so he said, that's in essence the way I feel about it. If you offend one of the little ones, any brother, it would be better for that person who offends if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Because, you know, that's quick death. That shows you, you know, what is the attitude of God toward that. God is, you know, he gets very furious when he sees people put down other people because they are not on the same level, on the same rank, the same intelligence, the same position. Because what he sees there, a demonic spirit, an attitude of the devil. And he's not going to tolerate that in his own children. Because if this is the way they want to go, because when you behave in that manner, that means you have contempt for those who are below you, and that's why you look at them, that's why you have today what they call the king or the queen and the subjects. You see? Like in this country, you have the generals, you see? And you have the high brass, and then you have the G.I. Joes. What does it mean, you know, what does it mean, a G.I. Joe? Government issue. G.I. Government issue. That's what we are to the government, an issue, a subject. You see? And that's a demonic system. And God abhors that because that's a system of contempt. God says, one is your master, he's in heaven, and all of you are brethren. Treat one another as such. Forget about all those games that you are playing among yourself, you know, pecking order and ranks and hierarchy and all those kind of things. Now, everybody has a service. Everybody has a function. That's a different thing, just like in the body. Somebody has got to be the head. And somebody's got to be the eye and the arm and the hands and all that, but they're all one body. And you don't pull ranks in the body. You see? Everybody serves everybody else. The feet are just as important. You know, you can't go anywhere. You might have a head, but, you know, you've got no feet to go places where, you know, you wouldn't go anywhere. So everybody is important. And that's what he wanted us to understand. And a lot of people, unfortunately, they do not understand that. And so he, in essence, says that I'm going to pour my fury on you. That would have been better for you if you just, you know, committed suicide. And in verse 7, we continue, woe to the world because of the offenses. For offenses must come, because that's the nature of man, because man follows the devil instead of God. But woe to that man by whom the offense comes. So he is repeating it. And yet in spite of that, people couldn't care less, and they are in the top of every given religion on the face of the earth. They don't care about the little one as they care about themselves, you know, about their cronies, about those around them. And that's the nature of men again. Unless we get to this state of mind where we think, like God, all children are important in His sight. You don't walk into a family and you say, well, you know, this is my older kid, you know, he's very important to me, but that my, you know, my little child there, you know, I couldn't care less about him. You know, he's nobody, he's nothing. You see, we just don't think that way. You have a new baby in the family, the whole family is around the baby. They all want to hold it and make all kind of funny sounds and take care of that baby and hug it and kiss it and all that. We don't act like that. The leadership doesn't act like that. And yet it says in another place that when one of the little ones turns back from his evil deeds and returns to God, you know, the angels shout with joy in heaven. It's so important. You know, it's just like a new baby in the family. Everybody is excited about it. And we haven't learned to be that way because we are still of our father, the devil. And the higher up people are in the ranks, you know, be it the ministry or the church or secular government, business community and all that, the closer they are to the devil than to God, unfortunately. And they haven't learned that yet. And so he repeats that twice, to tell us about his nature and the nature of God in contrast to ours, you see, in the nature of the devil that is in us. And so if you find this attitude in us, we have to have contempt for that attitude, not for the little ones, and get rid of it, because that's going to lead us to this end of the road of wrath and fury that will come pouring upon us by God. And as we've done to others, he will do to us. That's the reason why he's repeating it twice, because he feels very strongly about it, and people don't care, again, about this matter. And verse 8, we continue, if your hand is said, oh, foot causes you to sin, and again, he's talking about the same subject. If you're the kind of a person that, you know, you fly the handle very fast, you know, people don't do your bidding, you know, you get angry at them, and you start cursing, a lot of people are that way, there are a lot of bosses who are that way. You know, you don't do what they say, and you know, they come with a full force, you see, at you. And a lot of people do that. They have so much contempt for their employees, and that's why some employees, you know, they've had enough of that. And, you know, some of them just are weak minds, and they let anger, you know, get into them, and so they act in like manner, and they go home, pick up a rifle, come back to the office, and shoot everybody in sight. You see, why do they do that? Because they are so oppressed and so shamed and humiliated and insulted, and they're held in utter contempt by many others who couldn't care less about them. They don't treat them as human beings. You see, that's not a good way to have life and harmony and joy. And yet, we make those kind of mistakes. So, you know, we have to be careful. And parents do it to their children, oftentimes, without even thinking. We think, you know, these are G.I. Joes, you know, government issue. You know, we are the government, they are the issue. Just subjects. We feel like it, we smack them. We yell at them. You know, we insult them. Do all kind of things like that. And God said, don't do it. That's the nature of the devil. Because if you do it, I'm coming after you. And so if we find ourselves doing it at any level of society, or the family, or, you know, our friends and things like that, you know, the older kids always like to make fun of the little kids. The sophomores like to make fun, you know, the freshmen. You see, the demonic spirit, you know, the spirit of the devil is in all of us, from the greatest to the least. And that's not of God. And unless we get rid of it and teach others rightly and properly, you see, and show respect, parents should show respect to their children, and employers should show respect and honor to their employees. Without them, they wouldn't be there. Sometimes they forget it, you see. And those in the upper echelons or whatever, without all those at the bottom, so to speak, of the pyramid, as they call it, which is a demonic concept again, there's no such a thing. If there is only one master and all of us are brethren, where is the pyramid? It doesn't exist. Only in the mind of the devil and those who follow him. You see? Now there are different, again, functions. That's a different thing. You look at the body, where do you find a pyramid? You know, you have the head, you have the hands, you have the eyes, and, you know, different parts of the body. There is no pyramid there. So who invented this concept? Not God. And so God makes it very plain. We behave that way, we're going to pay the penalty for it, and his full fury is going to be poured on us. And a lot of people, you know, that claim to be people of God, servants of God, you know, Christians or Jews or whatever names they want to give themselves, they forget about all these matters. They forget that we have a Father, and we have one Lord. We have one Master, and he's in heaven, and all of us are brethren. And if we do not behave ourselves as such, you see, if we think, well, I'm the king and you are the subject, that's not in the vocabulary of God, that's in the vocabulary of the devil. And if we feel that way and act like that, we develop the nature of Satan, not of God. And at the end of the road, what is awaiting us? That's why earlier he said, you know, if anybody calls his brother Reka, you know, empty, you're nobody, you know, I'm the great one, you're nobody, he's going to be in danger of the lake of fire. You see? That's how seriously God looks at it, because that's a demonic nature, and we don't realize it, and we do it by nature because the world around us functions that way. And so, you know, we just grow up and have this kind of an attitude, and we develop it from a very young age. So it's up to the parents, up to the adults, it's up to those at the top to give an example to show others. We're all brethren. We all have different functions, and we all respect one another and honor one another. And we cannot disobey the law that says love your friend, your neighbor, your brother, your sister, employee, employer, whatever it may be, as yourself. You see? And because we do not function that way, not having the nature of God, then we invent in all kinds of those ideas, the chain of command, you know, the pecking order, you know, the pyramid, you see, the hierarchy. Those are not concepts of God. That's not the nature of God. And so he says, if you've got a problem like that, and he's describing it in a bodily way, you know, parts of the body, if your hand, he says, if your hand, verse 8, all food causes you to sin, you know, insulting others, putting down others, that's what he's talking about. Cut it off and cast it from you. Now, he's not talking about literally, you know, you take your hand and cut it off. He said, get rid of that habit, of this nature, of this attitude, because otherwise as he said, it is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. So again, he's warning here, just like he did earlier. If you put down others, if you insult them, if you call them reka, that means empty, nobody, you're going to go to the lake of fire. Now, is that what you want? It's as simple as that. God is not playing games with any one of us. You see, he's not impressed with people's intellect or intelligence or vocabulary or station in life. You see, whatever function they have, even though he may have given it to them, he's not impressed with any of that. He's impressed with people who have his nature in them and his love and his mercy and his respect and honor and concern as he has it for us. You see, he doesn't treat us in that way. He doesn't say, hey, you little peon, come over here, lick my, you know, lick my feet or kiss my ring. We behave that way. People of religion do that, showing of whose, you know, spirit they are. And they are not of God. And you can spot them everywhere. Spirit of arrogance and haughtiness and self-exaltation. And this is what did the devil in. You see, when iniquity began to show in him and he began to exalt himself, and he forgot his purpose in life, and he forgot the nature of his creator, and he began to develop, you know, a different nature. And so, obviously, he wants more like him, and so he's injecting his nature in us, sometimes from the belly of our mothers, as he did with Esau. And we have to be very careful, you know, about that, and constantly resist the devil, you see, that he would flee from us. Resist his attitude, his nature, his character. Even though we may see it all around us, we should not follow that example because it comes at us from so many directions and many fall for it. And as soon as you are promoted, you walk around, you know, prancing around as if you are important and others are nobodies. You know, people do it all around you. And if you are not careful, you're going to follow that attitude and you're going to behave the same way. You suddenly become important in your own eyes. And when you do that, you have fallen for the devil, and you did not resist him, but you joined his camp. So we have to think about those kind of things. And Christ makes it very, very clear here, the way he feels about it. And he continues, and if your eye causes you to sin, block it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. And all that, you see, was because of the question that the disciples asked, which was a demonic question. Who is the greatest in the kingdom? And they didn't think about it that way. So you can imagine how small they felt now in their own eyes when they got this kind of a lecture back from Jesus Christ. And you can imagine how he looked at them when he said that. There was much fury there and anger. Not only at them. You see, that's merely directed at the devil and his nature that is in them. And all of us should remember that whenever we have this kind of an attitude. What happens to the face of Jesus Christ when he looks at us? So he's making it very plain. Don't you ever be that kind of a person. Don't fall for it. Resist the devil. You see? He was trying to give him this deal. You know, you bow down before me, you know, use a chain of command, you know, you peon, you know, get down on your knees before me, and I'll give you the whole world, all the glory of the world. Now you've got everybody, you know, licking your dust. That was the attitude of the devil. And that's the attitude he injects into all of us from a very young age. And we have to be extremely careful about it because we have it by nature, not the nature of God, but the nature of the devil, our father, who is still our father, even though we may be converted and have the Holy Spirit. As long as we have those kind of attitudes, as long as we still sin, it is because of that nature that is still in us, the carnality that is in us, as Paul, being the apostle of Jesus Christ, highly, you know, greatly devoted servant of God, still said, the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Oh, wretched man that I am. You see? So let's not ever kid ourselves. You know, as some people say in their idiocy and ignorance and haughtiness and arrogance, they say the law is made for the righteous. We are righteous. We don't need the law. You see, those people have fallen for the devil and they don't even know it, and they have his nature and mind and character. To have such arrogance to think that they are righteous. As David said, there is none righteous, no, not one. None of us is righteous. We have a measure of righteousness in us, yet we are not righteous. We are not holy, we are not good. That's a process before we get to that point until Christ totally removes from us all of the filthiness that is in us, every spot and blemish, and anybody who thinks at this point that he's already got it is deceiving himself. You see? As the apostles made it very plain, he that says that I don't sin is a liar and the truth is not in him. And how many people hang around like that? They think, well, I'm good, I'm holier than thou, I'm holy Joe. You see? And they walk in that state of mind for the rest of their lives and they think they're doing great and they come before Christ and says, I never knew you. You see, Christ doesn't hang around with the devil and his demons and those who follow in their footsteps. That's as simple as that. So he says, that's the kind of an attitude you have to your fellow man, you're going to end up in the lake of fire. You'll be gone no more. I'll teach you a lesson at that point. Only it'll be too late if you don't learn it now. And so we continue here, or he continues, saying, take heed, verse 10, that you do not despise one of these little ones. See, he's still on the same subject. For I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. You see, so they've got a very, very important personalities up there who constantly watch for them. And he can never say you are a nobody. How can you be a nobody when you've got top angels up there always beholding the face of the Father and let him know how some of his little children are being treated by others? And so not only you get the wrath of Jesus Christ coming after you, you get the wrath of the Father after you. You see? A lot of people don't see it that way. They don't understand the reality in which we live. They walk in darkness and blindness. They think that they can get away with whatever they do. Their attitudes, nobody knows. And they continue all their lives being haughty and arrogant and wrathful and put down people. And they think, nobody knows about it. Nobody cares. Nobody can do anything to me. You know, I'm the greatest. And they don't realize that all that record is being written against them. And when they appear before the judgment seat of Christ, you see, the wrath of the Lamb, the wrath of Jesus Christ and the Father is going to be poured on them. And that's what it says. Wisdom, you see, when people have wisdom, it begins with the fear of the Lord. Because when you fear God and you understand all these things, you're wise. And you begin to behave wisely. And if you don't fear God, obviously you behave in a foolish way and think that you're going to get away with it. Nobody's going to get away with it. So every time you walk around and you think that you're important and you prance around, like a chicken, with her hair or feathers, up there or whatever, you see, just remember that. Every little guy that you think around you is a little guy. He's got angels that constantly report directly to the Father. He did not even say, they report to me, Jesus Christ. No, they report directly to the Father, to the God of heaven and earth, and they're telling him, your little children, that's the way they've been treated today by so-and-so. You see? You don't want to be in that condition, that position, when the time comes for judgment. And that's what he says. There are angels always, not sometimes, all the time. Every time you insult them, they ran to Daddy, Big Daddy, and they tell him. They're all those people who are telling on you, just like little children like to say to each other, I'll tell on you. Somebody's going to tell on you. Well, those holy angels constantly tell on us when we insult others and put down others, you see, and have contempt toward others. That's very serious business because that's a family. You see, we have God who is our Father. We have Jesus Christ, our elder brother. We've got all the holy angels. They are servants and babysitters, so to speak. And everybody cares about everybody. And those who misbehave, they get reported all the way to the top. You see? You don't want to be in that condition, in that state, when the Father, puts you in a certain spot and begins to deal with you. And when Jesus Christ does that, so all those who are at the top, you know, as Jesus Christ would say, he that has an ear, let him hear. And anybody, any single one of us who puts ourselves at the top, on top of others, be it the husband, you know, puts down his wife, or the parents that put down their children, or the older brothers that put down their little brothers, or those in school that put down those who came after them, or in the workplace, or anywhere. God is not, you know, impressed with any one of you. Don't play games with God. As Jesus, you know, as Paul said, our God is a consuming fire, and it is a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the eternal. So he that has an ear, as Christ would say, take heed, let him hear, before it's too late. Because the time will come when it'll be too late. He cannot say, I'm sorry, oops. There is no oops with God. And so, he says here about himself, his role. Verse 11, for the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. Speaking about the little guys, you know, that went by the wayside because they've been abused by the leadership, generally speaking, for, you know, whatever kind of reason. He said, I came for them to bring them back. So he's warning people, don't mess around with my little ones, even though, you know, they may be lost. And so those who are righteous in their own sight, you know, they look at the harlot and say, that filthy slut or whatever, and in a contemptuous manner, couldn't care less about the circumstances, couldn't care less about, you know, extending a hand and helping that person, a daughter of God, or somebody else, you know, in a sinful condition. You see, instead of that, they just have contempt for them, you know, get away from me, you filthy, dirty, whatever. What kind of an attitude is that to have in the family? That's not what God is looking for. What happened to the command, love your neighbor as yourself, your brother, your sister, anybody? It doesn't mean that you love their way, what they do. That you should have, you know, contempt for, that's true. But not for the people. And we forget that sometimes. And Christ said, these are the kind of people I came for. Everybody, and for that matter, every single one of us, one way or the other, we are lost. Even though we may think that we are okay, walking in the light. Verse 12, what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? Well, by nature a person does that. You see, and how much more our Father, and yet some people would say, just, you know, he's just a nobody, who cares, you know, let him go, let him go, we don't need them, you see. Where do we get this kind of an attitude? Not from God. That's a demonic spirit that affects us. Demonic attitude, and we're not resisting the devil when we think that way. But we're falling in line and marching in his footsteps. Verse 13, and it continues, and if he should find it, assuredly, I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep. Imagine that. More over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. You see? They didn't go astray. There is no reason to rejoice over them in that sense. But the one that he brings back, in other words, he shows again another example how important is everyone, including so-called the little one. You know, the little one becomes the one that is nobody. Either the lost, or, you know, not too intelligent, not too smart, not too whatever, you know. He's not too good-looking, or she's not too good-looking, so we say, they're nobodies, you know, I don't want to hang around them. You know, they're not important to me, so when it comes to have our own clique, you know, we want the best and the top, and that's the way they function in a team. You know, and if you go for football and basketball, you know, things like that, it's understandable. In a team, you want to pick up the best. But you don't use, you know, this kind of an attitude or a concept or a way of doing things when it comes to your family, to friends. Everybody is important. And when we remember that very profoundly and deeply, then we do not have contempt for people, but by nature we care for everybody, and doesn't make a difference who they are and how they look like and what kind of intelligence they have. What kind of, you know, maybe they don't have good manners, so what? You see? Our job is to help them, not to have contempt for them and put them down and says you're nobody. And so he's reinforcing it, and he's describing this attitude that he has toward us in contrast to ours again and again and again in different ways, and all that based on that unfortunate, tragic statement based on a state of mind that the disciples ask him, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You see? And how many of us, you know, are going to get that lecture, and have we ever, you know, displayed that kind of an attitude from him and from the Father? You should think about it. That's serious business. And so he says, just like a man is going to rejoice over the one instead of the 99 who didn't go astray, even so it is not the will of your Father. And this is what we should remember. Who is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. And yet if we put them down, if we despise them and have contempt for them, they're going to get insulted. You see, the spirit is going to be broken. And they're going to just, you know, perish, disappear, fade away. And they would say, no, who needs a religion like that? You see? And we don't realize what we are doing to one another when we behave in that manner. The far-reaching impact. And sometimes we do it, we're not aware of it. We don't even know what happened to that person. You know, one day we wake up and say, well, whatever happened to that person? I don't see him anymore around. And you don't realize that you are the offender, and you don't realize that you're on death row. You see? And that's why, you know, when we think about these matters all the time, we are very careful not to be insulting and contemptuous of people and put down, you know, and behave in that manner. We behave, you know, very, very carefully, and remember always having the fear of God in us. How does our Father think about our attitude when we insult, when we put down, and we do not go back and humble ourselves and apologize? And especially the higher up, you know, we tend to be, and the more intelligent, the less we want to do it, because the more we are exalted in our own eyes, and we are in a much graver danger when we get to those kind of positions and state of minds, you see. Yet the Father does not forget anything. He's got all those holy angels reminding him about all those things that we have done. And so he says, your Father who is in heaven, you see, he does not want that anyone should perish. Moreover, he continues, if your brother sins against you, so now, what if I have a good reason, you know, to get angry at someone? So he goes into that too, because that happens too. People offend us too. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Again, don't insult him in public. You see, don't put him to shame. Don't put her to shame. Don't make a mockery out of them. You know, just go behind their back and make faces at them. Let everybody know how you feel about them. That's, again, the nature of the devil that is in us. And we're not free of it. And you go and gossip, you know, pick up the phone, and you go tell everybody, I don't know what's wrong with those kind of people, and tell everybody. Well, those people don't know, you know, anything about it. They can't help it. And yet you go and tell other people, and then you poison minds of other people, so they too have contempt for them. And we do it all the time by nature. We don't even think about it. And Christ said very plainly, you've got a problem with somebody, somebody offended you, go to him in private, in humbleness, in the spirit of meekness and humility. Not, you know, in wrath and contempt, not, you know, putting him down and insulting him, but with the attempt to gain him back as a brother, because if you continue to harbor those feelings against him, you're going to divorce yourself from him in your mind and heart. Where are you going to end up when you stand before the judgment seat? You see? Now, those kind of things were not something new that he's teaching here. That was from the beginning. The royal law, you shall love your, you know, friend as yourself, was not given here. Some people think, well, this is a New Testament teaching, and it's not. A lot of people, in their ignorance, they think, well, you know, the law in Sinai was written on a table of stone, but now it's written on our hearts, so this is spiritual, while the other one is physical. And in their lunacy and idiocy, and their ignorance and blindness, they don't understand the law was always spiritual. Whether it is written on a piece of stone or in a heart of flesh, the law itself is always spiritual, because it is given by a spiritual God. And so they have contempt for what they call the Old Testament, because, you know, it was written on a stone. And that's ignorance and arrogance and haughtiness. And you find it generally in the so-called Christian community as they think about the Jew. And you hear these comments all the time. You know, well, you've got your law written on a stone, and we've got ours, you know, written in the heart, and we're holier than thou. We're more righteous than you are, you see. Now, that arrogance crept into the church from the beginning of time. And the Apostle Paul had to deal with that. That's why we read, you know, his words to the Corinthians who developed that problem. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he's addressing this issue. To the Gentiles that were coming into the church and now became, high and exalted in their own sight because a lot of Jews around them, were not being called. And so he told them, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware, or the word that he uses, ignorant, because he said, you are ignorant people. You're self-exalted and haughty in your own sight, and you're boasting, as he said to the Romans. You see, because God is dealing with you, and many of the Jews around you are not being dealt with, yet they are the sons of the kingdom. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant that all our fathers, not your fathers, our fathers, all Israelites, were under the cloud, all passed through the Red Sea, you see, through the sea, or the sea of reed. All were baptized into Moses, in case you think, that you're the first one to be baptized, and some people think, well, when Christianity came along, that was the first time when people began to be baptized. He said, no. People of Israel were the first to go through it. They have the preeminence and will always have the preeminence. Because that's the will of God, whether we like it or not. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food. It's not the letter of the law. There is no such a thing. Versus spirit of the law. The law of God has physical application, spiritual application. You commit adultery, you do it with your body, but your mind is involved. So it's both physical and spiritual. One is the letter of the law, don't commit adultery. Another one is when you do it in your heart. But they're all part of the same law. And because of ignorance and darkness and confusion in the minds of people, especially who have now been raised on the law of God and have never known that the law, as Paul said, is spiritual, period, has always been. You see, as Christ said, my word is spirit. And how many people have that knowledge and understanding in the so-called Christianity? And the thing, those poor Jews, all they have is just a physical, letter of the law. And they have no knowledge of the spirit of the law. I mean, you go to the courts of land, the land, you hear that terminology there all the time, the letter of the law, the spirit of the law, to the full intent of the spirit of the law. Where did they get this idea from? You see, they're not converted people. That's ignorance on the part of men. That's what he says to them, you're ignorant people. And because of that, they began to be haughty and scoffing and put down the Jew. You see, that was not converted because they were. He says, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. Why? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, the God of Israel, that people think that's an old harsh monster, and that rock was Christ. You see? That shows you how ignorant people are. And so you find it among religions, the people of Islam, they say, well, we are the believers and you are the infidels. In the Christian community, they said that all the time for 2,000 years. We are the believers, you are the infidels, be it the Jews or Muslims or others. You see? And God says to all of us, if you do not walk in the spirit of the law, if you do not walk in my law, which has both physical and spiritual application, and if you do not love your neighbor as yourself, or your friend, or if you do not love your enemy, you see, you're all in the camp of the devil. It's as simple as that. And so he makes it very plain. Whatever you do it based on the law, and the law of God has always been spiritual from beginning until the end. So if your brother sins against you, which happens, go and tell him in private, Don't make a big affair out of it. Don't make a big deal out of it and tell the whole world about it, just to show that you are righteous and the other one is not. That's a form of put down when you tell the sins of others in front of others when that person is not even aware of it, may not even know that he had done it. You see? So what kind of spirit is in us when we do it? Think about it. And we would like to do it a lot, unfortunately. Gossip, that's... That seems to be an expertise of women, which is unfortunate. A lot of men do that too. None of us should have it. We shouldn't be behaving that way. Somebody does something wrong to us, think about them first, not yourself. You see? Or at least think about them as much as you think about yourself. That's what it means, love your neighbor as yourself, or your friend. and then care for their reputation and go and try to help them because you want to be still brothers, because you remember and you have eyes to see. Big Daddy is watching. The holy angels are watching. You see, they know my attitude in any given time, they know my intent, and they know why I'm doing what I'm doing, you see. And everything gets recorded and reported. You see? That's what Christ is saying. You better be aware of this reality. It's happening all the time. Fear God. You see? Not man. And so, he says, if you have somebody like that that offends you, well, go to him. And if he hears you, and you do it alone between you and him too, tell him about his fault, and not, you know, with a wrathful spirit, but in a spirit of meekness and humility. And if he hears you or she hears you, well, you have gained your brother. That's the intent. You want to gain your brother. You don't want to put that brother to shame, then you are not going to gain your brother. You do not want to insult him, then you wouldn't gain your brother. You see? And that's the way we function, unfortunately. Again, because we have two fathers, our Father which is in heaven, speaking about those who have been called by the Father and converted, and we still have our other Father who still has a great, you know, deal of influence over us, and we do not sometimes realize that, as we should. And so he says, but if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more. Still, you don't go and tell the whole world about it, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. So you still try to keep it in private because, you still hope that he will come around, maybe later on, you see, instead of creating more barriers between you and him or her. You try at least, so others would know about it. But two or three, you didn't say call the whole world and tell them about it. So everybody, is going to go down on them. You still do it with the attitude of love in your heart. He's my brother, and you never forget that. And if he refuses to hear them, then you tell it to the church. You see, that's the time you go and tell everybody. But not with the attitude, that dumb so-and-so, that evil, whatever, that slob. Again, not for that, but you're doing it because you want the brethren to know about it and pray about that person and go and try to convince that person and help that person and put the right kind of pressure on that person, you see, to turn around. And none of them can do it with the attitude of contempt, because if they do, every single one of them is guilty, you see, and a part of the guilt will be yours because you brought it about also, if you've done it to the wrong manner, you see. And so, that's the way you go about it. And we don't find ourselves doing it, we'd rather just lay it on them, smear the reputation and, speak against them with contempt and things like that. You see, that shows you how far we are from God and how close we are still to the devil when we behave in this manner. We're still so much his children. Instead of resisting him, we wallow in his filth and stench and pollution, and we think we are good people, righteous people, and we don't realize how filthy we are. That's what the Apostle Paul was saying, oh, wretched man that I am. And people do not look in the mirror of the law, obviously don't see it, and they deceive themselves that they're doing great. And so he says, if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church, but if he refuses even to hear the church, that kind of a person he is, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Those people were hated. People to this very day, you don't like the tax collector. In other words, totally get him out of your path, out of your way, out of your sight. Don't deal with that person, but still without hatred. Because some people need to go all the way to the bottom before they bounce up. And God is going to take care of that person anyway and turn him around in order to gain him, not lose him, because God does not want anyone to perish. Verse 19, again, I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. And you have to understand the context and the background behind it. You can just go and, let's get together, the two of us, and ask God for a Rolls Royce. You see? Well, let's ask God to send a bolt of lightning and destroy such and such, because, he doesn't like us. We don't like him. Obviously, everything has to be done in accordance with the will of God and for the benefit, of people. And when it is right, so a lot of things, should be factored in when we read a statement like that. And All that, again, is in the context of the statement, who is the greatest in heaven? So the two and three get together here in this context and ask God, would you please help this person, you know, have his eyes open so we can have a brother instead of an enemy? You see, so he can be saved instead of being delivered to the lake of fire, since it was done, you know, within the tail end of this whole subject here, you know, about this matter. Obviously, it's a part of it. And so this is what he's talking about here. Again, care for your people and ask God to help the person. You know, if that's the last thing you have, you are left with, you know, it's just like the physician would say to the patient at a certain point, only God can help you now. Well, this is where you find yourself now, and therefore you go to God and plead with him, please help this person to come around. Not because we hate him, but because we love him and we want him to be a member of the family. We know that he's your child too. Please, you know, Daddy, do something about it. We can't. That's a concept in the nature that it is here. That's what he's talking about. And then we read in verse 21, in other words, the end of the discourse, after that question. Sometimes you've got to be careful what kind of questions you ask God. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And we'll continue next time with this subject. Again, greetings to all of God's people. This is Mordecai Joseph. Until the next lesson.